Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So Stephen R. Covey was hardly the first person to write a self-help book, but Seven Habits became an instant classic, selling more than 25 million copies. It was also notable in its marriage of the personal life and professional life. If you are a Stephen Covey disciple in any way, shape, or form, give us a call now that he passed away yesterday at 79. It was from the after effects of a bicycle accident, by the way. He had brain complications after they thought he was okay, blah, from his bicycle accident in April. But he lived until 79. He sold so many books. And if you were a Stephen R. Covey Seven Habits reader or influenced by him in any way, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. You know the seven by heart? Be proactive. Begin with the end in mind. Put first things first. Think win-win. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. That's a great one. Synergize and sharpen the saw. So any Covey readers? 212-433-9692. And we're joined now by Heidi Grant Halverson, Associate Director of the Motivation Science Center at the Columbia University Business School. She writes about motivational science for Fast Company and Psychology Today as well. Her latest book is 9 Things Successful People Do Differently. Dr. Halverson, I thought there were only 7. You mean there are 9?
There are 9. Sure, he missed a couple, but
he had his own book, the follow up book called The 8th Thing.
Right. His book is extraordinary. I'm a big fan, and I say that, you know, it's actually sort of special for me because the truth is I write self-help books, but I don't like most of them. And his is really an extraordinary book. I think it was the first and still one of the few to have met, I think, 2 standards that really every self-help book should be able to live up to. First, the advice should be true. And I think that sounds silly, but it's really remarkable how much bad advice there is out there in the self-help space. It turns out, and really there's an abundance of research that shows this, that people in general are very remarkably bad at figuring out why they have succeeded or failed in the past. We come up with reasons, but often those reasons are wrong. And self-help writers, you know, are people too. And sometimes the advice they give, though I think, you know, incredibly well-intentioned, turns out to just be wrong, either that it's not particularly helpful, or in some cases it actually leaves you worse off than you started.
So the hard part for any reader is, how do you know?
Exactly. You know, they're turning to the self-help writer for advice because they can't figure it out themselves. They don't know why they're so successful in their career, but they can't lose, you know, the 20 pounds that won't come off. So what's the deal? And I think Stephen Covey's book is first of all remarkable in that he really gets the advice right. You know, he tells his story in a very personal way, and uses his own experiences. But he was also a student of science. He was a student of the research on organizational behavior, and so he knows that the principles he's identifying are in fact backed up by research. That we know these things to be true, and they don't just sound right. They in fact do work. I think the second thing that he did with this book is really that something should be true of all self-help books is that he makes it possible for you to put the advice into practice. So many times you read a self-help book and they say things like, you know, stay motivated, or, you know, get organized, or be positive, and that sounds right, but they don't really tell you how exactly you're supposed to do these things. And I think Stephen Covey's book, again, you know, he really gives you tools. He gives you steps. He gives you concrete pieces, you know, ways of understanding how you can make these principles a habit in your life. And so it's really the gold standard. It's what all of us in this era, you know, in this genre should be trying to live up to.
Let's get some of his readers on the air. Don, you're on WNYC. Hi, Don.
Yes, hi. I love your show.
Thank you.
The obit in the Times of Covey mentioned that he later added an eighth step, which was to encourage or urge people to find their own distinctive voice and to encourage others to find theirs.
And that was important to you?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Thank you very much. The eighth habit of highly effective people. Alan in, I'm sorry, Colin in Nyack. You're on WNYC. Hi, Colin.
Hello. Good morning.
So you read Stephen R. Covey. Are you like a management in a big business?
No, I'm actually a musician, and I had an experience when I was younger. I had really severe problems getting the low notes of the saxophone because I had developed some very bad habits. I was a very nervous kid, and so I had some problems with my embouchure, biting too hard and then overcompensating to get the low notes. And I had a wonderful teacher just by serendipity. Somebody said, I think John Purcell can help you. John Purcell is actually a famous saxophonist.
Yes.
And he figured out how to help me. I had to stop playing for a month or two and do mouth exercises to build up
Covey.
He told me, you know, to motivate me to do that, he said to read The Seven Habits. And that's what kind of got me through that difficult period of adjustment.
Thank you very much. Alan in Massapequa, you're on the air. Hi, Alan.
Yes, hi, how are you? I'm just calling to tell you that I had Steve Covey come to our trade association back in the 90s. And it was actually a photographic association of photographic labs, and he came and spoke and was very, very good and very informative. Too bad it didn't do much for the photographic industry at the time, but it worked out very, very well.
What was memorable?
He's actually a Mormon, too, by the way, so I don't know if people know that.
Yes, Alan. In fact, do you know, Professor, that he is the first holder of the John Huntsman Chair at Utah State University in the business school. Did you know that?
No. I did not know that.
So there's Mormons in the news. And he had this kind of ethical underpinning. He was a practicing Mormon, an observant Mormon, from what I understand. And I think you could see it. It wasn't the first thing on my mind when I read his book years ago. But you could see the fact that there was some kind of ethical groundwork that he had, or grounding, when he took that big longer-term picture towards so many things. And, you know, and I remember being struck by the combination of confidence and humility. So in the principle, for example, seek first to understand, then to be understood. If leadership is sometimes, you know, stereotypically understood as charging forward and hoping that everybody follows you just because you think you have the best idea, there's another side to leadership that involves humility, and he articulated it very well, and yet he showed his confidence.
You know, I think so many of the things, of the principles that he talks about, end up being, you know, people think of him as a leadership guru, but really he's sort of a human being guru. He's somebody who really was teaching us how to learn to be an effective person. And if you can be an effective person, you can be an effective leader, because at the end of the day, the principles are the same. It's just that if you're a leader, then part of your job is actually helping other people to be effective as well. But I think, you know, principles like listening first, you know, to understand and then be understood,
yeah,
is really something we can all benefit from in every aspect of our lives.
Bob in the appropriately named Lake Success. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I love your show, and very sorry to hear about him passing away. The comments, the idea about him being more than just a business guy is tremendous. It was about being an effective person and being an ethical person. I mean, this stuff is just disarmingly simple, you know, listen before being listened to. But I started reading it before I became a parent. Now I'm a parent, and I find myself going back to it. Hmm. And, you know, it's not about a quick fix. I think that's an incredible aspect of it. You know, at the beginning he talks about drawing on the works of Benjamin Franklin and Viktor Frankl and about core values and ethics, and that's what he does. And I think that's an incredible source of strength. And just one last thing, if you'll let me. When I read it for the first time some years later, I was up visiting a friend up in Boston at the Harvard Business School, and just had nothing to do, so I ordered it, of course, and they were referencing Covey. It was about Covey, and they were incorporating Seven Habits into it. And
10 seconds, Bob.
A few months later, I ended up in Brooklyn at Lubavitch headquarters for a weekend retreat.
And they
and
were
the topic was Stephen Covey.
Now that really is something. And in fact, you talk about people he quoted. He liked to quote the French philosopher Pierre de Chardin, who said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." So I guess that applied from the Harvard Business School to the Lubavitch headquarters. Bob, thank you very much. And we thank you very much, Associate Director of the Motivation Science Center at the Columbia University Business School, Heidi Grant Halverson, author of 9 Things Successful People Do Differently. Thank you so much for coming on
Thank
and remembering
you.
Stephen Covey with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.